Eagles were very active even before the draft, making moves with the Saints to get future draft capital. They moved up two spots in a second trade and then traded picks for receiver A.J. Brown, signed him to a four-year, $100 million contract, $57 million guaranteed. The second trade the Eagles made was to get ahead of the Baltimore Ravens, your team, Bart, to select Jordan Davis out of Georgia. In round two, they grabbed center Cam Jurgens from Nebraska. And in the third, the Eagles took a lottery ticket, friend of First Take, N'Kobe Dean. He started to slip in the draft due to a medical issue, but if he gets healthy, that could be a steal of the draft. Here's AJ on his new digs.
I'm one of the top guys in the league. I'm confident in how I play and what I bring to the table. I'm glad the Eagles believed in me. I just wanted to, you know, I wanted my work to be appreciated. You know, that's pretty much it.
What was the explanation you got?
No explanation. It was just, they're just sorry it couldn't work out. And, you know, it's a business. And, you know, things happen. You move on, you know. And I appreciate the Titans for everything they did for me. The people down there, I have no bad blood with the Titans. You know, they believed in me. They drafted me. So, you know, they got my career started.
Okay. Key and Bart are here. Meanwhile, speaking of the NFC East here, Mel Kiper graded Dallas a C+, and New England also received one as well. Those were Mel's worst grades. So the Patriots and the Dallas Cowboys getting Mel Kiper Jr.'s worst grades here from the draft. Bart, do the Cowboys or Eagles have more question marks going into the season?
Well, to me, the Dallas Cowboys have glaring needs all over the place. One, we don't know who's going to be the pass rusher. Dante Fowler, like, this is a first-round draft pick that has went to Atlanta and failed miserably trying to be reunited with his former defensive coordinator. So they didn't really address a pass rusher opposite DeMarcus Lawrence. Then you talk about the right side of that offensive line, and it was a head-scratcher because you had pass rushers there. You had a lot of talent there available, and they decided to go with Tyler Smith, who was a big, massive man. And, yeah, his tape is great until you check the fact that he's replacing a guy where he had more penalties in the league than anybody. I don't know, between Leatherwood and last year Williams, you know, Connor Williams, I don't know who had more penalties. And then you draft a guy in the same likeness. When you talk about a team that we talked about their lack of discipline and the penalties that they had, you go out and you double down on another player. Listen, but at this point, I believe that, you know, the Philadelphia Eagles, who made it to the postseason last year, should be the favorite within the division. I don't even think that's a debate that Keyshawn, outside of being a homer of the Dallas Cowboys, can even debate.
Well, I'm not a homer of the Dallas Cowboys. I play for the Cowboys, but I'm not a homer of the Cowboys.
You love
it. I think when you look at both teams, certainly the Dallas Cowboys lost some players, but they added some players. When you talk about Connor Williams, yes, they did go out and sign a guy in Tyler Smith from Tulsa that they drafted in the first round. A lot of people says it's a head-scratcher, but how can you ever argue with the Dallas Cowboys, as long as Jerry Jones and Stephen Jones has been a part of that franchise and the organization, that offensive line all the way back to the Super Bowl days to where we are today has consistently had Pro Bowlers and top-notch guys along that offensive line. They took a flyer on Lyle Collins at the time, and now all of a sudden they move on from him, which was a big-time player. They move on from him, and they decided that they were so deep on the offensive line that they had the luxury to move on from him and add other people. When you say, oh, well, what are they going to do on the defensive side of the ball? And Dante Fowler was playing okay in Atlanta. There's such a thing as a rebirth with your defensive coordinator, as you know, Bart, going from Baltimore to the New York Jets with Rex Ryan and continuing your career. So there's something there. But then on top of that, when you look at Jabril Cox, a guy who tore his ACL, who was playing and then all of a sudden in 2021 got hurt. We don't know what he's going to be in 2022, but that answers the bell defensively. Malik Hooker comes back. Kurtz comes back in the secondary along with Diggs. He got Michael Parsons. I think the Dallas Cowboys are still ahead of the Philadelphia Eagles, and here's why. Because the quarterback. The Philadelphia Eagles quarterback is still learning how to play the position in the National Football League. The Dallas Cowboys, their quarterback knows how to play the position. He still has his weapons. They've got to get used to A.J. Brown. He knows who CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup is. He knows who Dalton Schultz is. He knows that he has Ezekiel Elliott and Pollard in the backfield. So I just think that when you look at it, I get it. The Dallas Cowboys are a polarizing team in America, but they're a little bit ahead of the Philadelphia Eagles for me.
That is right out of the Dallas Cowboys media manual. You went down verbatim. Listen, Keyshawn, you want to talk about that offensive line? Tyron Smith is the oldest 30-year-old lineman I've ever seen in my life. This dude got an ankle brace, knee brace, neck roll. He hasn't been available the last couple of years. He's starting to slip off. You talk about that run game. That run game was non-existent when we got to the postseason. We talk about Ezekiel Elliott, who the only reason he's on the team is because his dead cap money is so high, right? You talk about Gallup. Gallup was number three. Now Gallup has to be number two. Are we just going to dismiss the fact that Amari Cooper is no longer there, a guy that took a lot of pressure off the other receivers? And you talk about that defense you couldn't go anywhere but up last year. And so now you look at not being able to get to the quarterback. Now you go to the other side. Let's not talk about what Dallas don't have.
Are you not
going
to be able to get to the quarterback?
I'll let you talk. It's my turn, Smoke. It's my turn, Smoke. Let's not talk about what Dallas don't. Let's not talk about what Dallas has. Let's talk about what Philadelphia just did. That is when it got the most polarizing big man that we've seen since Albert Haynesworth coming out of the college ranks. Now you pair him with Fletcher Cox. They go get N'Kobe Dean. Yeah, I know he's small, little micro mini pimp. He's only 5'11". But with those two massive guys in front of him, guys won't be able to get to the next level. They got to get a double team on both of those guys before they work up to the linebacker. They go out and get A.J. Brown. You talk about A.J. Brown. And this is a user-friendly receiver. And you understand what it is. Ryan Tannehill is not a great quarterback. But it is user-friendly because of the RPO game. Because Jalen Hurts is a mobile quarterback, he's going to always hold the backside defensive end and the backside linebacker. And we've seen Nick Foles win a Super Bowl with the same recipe by just putting the ball in the belly of the running back and hitting guys on slant.
But is Jalen Hurts Nick Foles? Like, can he do that?
That's not a high bar. That's not a high bar at all. So now you talk about RPO game, right? You talk about the RPO game. They had one of the best, or not the best, running game last year. It only gets better because now when you put those linebackers come up because they have to respect the belly and the running backs, now you got a guy that can take a slant that is built like an Adonis. Like, he's etched out of the stone from Zeus himself. This guy got more yak. I watched him smack Marlon Humphreys around like Damon and Friday after next. Like, this guy is strong, but now they also have an opposite receiver, Devontae Smith. You want to talk about tight ends? What about Dallas Goedert? Oh, I forgot they went out and got Hassan Reddick as well. So now you talk about Brandon Graham coming back, who won the Super Bowl by getting the fumble on Brady. So now you talk about, if you go player for player, person for person, outside of the quarterback position, you would take the players on Dallas. What offensive line do you like better? Do you like the Philadelphia Eagles with Lane Johnson, with Hilliard, with Kelsey, or do you like the guys in Dallas right now? You don't even have to answer.
Do you know what the Cowboys did to the Eagles last year, man? Do you really honestly think
that's what Rieger,
big of an upgrade?
They had Rieger, Jalen Rieger, who was a first-round bust, sitting there. I don't care what they did last year. This is a new year, Keyshawn. Turn the page, brother.
It makes me giggle that you think that the Cowboys fell off that much to the point where the Eagles done caught them and passed.
What have
the
they
Eagles
won?
The Eagles certainly got better. There's no question about that. But as far as catching them and passing them, again, they got the best quarterback in the division.
That's
and whenever
bar.
You got the best
low
quarterback,
bar.
But low bar to you. But when you got the best quarterback in the division, you tend to win the division and win a lot of games when you got the best quarterback. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know about that one, Keyshawn. You got to go back and relook at the tape, man.
I know what you guys will agree on. Former Jets, that the Jets had a great draft. They got an A by Mel.
That was deserving, so, you know what I mean?
I mean, when you're that bad, it's, yeah.
Oh, really? That hurts. See, I was just going to give you some shine for your Giants, but now I'm going to take that back. Junior Wapperhand's going to be in the employment line like next year because of that, Molly.
They got a long way to go,
Jets did a tremendous job in the draft, Molly, no question about it. They went back in and got Jermaine Johnson in the first round. We already know what they did at the top of the draft with Sauce. They got the receiver and Garrett Wilson. They went up and got Hall. They did a tremendous job. Now, they just got to put it all together and make sure that Zach Wilson stays healthy. Mm-hmm. And if they can do that, they can win some games and continue to build with the young team. Doesn't mean they're going to the playoffs.
They passed
doesn't mean
your
anything
uncle,
remotely
like
close to that.
That was a nice motivational speech by
they
you. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. To the NFL we go. The Honey Badger is coming home. That's right. Tyrann Mathieu has agreed to a three-year, $33 million deal with the New Orleans Saints, including $18 million guaranteed. According to our Adam Schefter, Mathieu was born in New Orleans and started LSU. Now he gets a chance to get the Saints to its first Super Bowl since 2010. But standing in their way are Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Art Scott, do you see the Saints as legit threats to the Bucs in the NFC South?
Legitimate. I think, you know, listen, first of all, this is a division where, you know, teams never repeat as the divisional champions. You know, even when, you know, Tampa won the Super Bowl, they didn't win the division. I think that, listen, I think that the Saints should be the favorite. I think that it's more stability there. I think that their team and their core has been together. You see a lot of the key pieces from Tampa leaving. The biggest is Bruce Arians. I know he's upstairs. But, you know, we'll see what happens now. Tremendous pressure on Todd Bowles. He's getting a great team, but he has expectations, Super Bowl or bust. When you look at what's happened in this rivalry over the last couple of years, and I was with Cam Jordan a couple of weeks ago, and he reminded me that they're 4-1 against Terrific Tom and his crew. Well, they just got better with the Honey Badger, and you pair him with Marcus May, already have Lattimore out there, and, you know, Keyshawn's little cousin, a.k.a. Mini-Me, is coming back, and he's healthy, right? So he's happy. He's motivated, right? And then they go out and they get Chris Olave. So you talk about that pair, those skill sets. Listen, if you can win with Trevor Siemian and you can win with Taysom Hill, why shouldn't you be able to beat these guys with Jameis Winston, who had him at 5-2 before he got hurt? I don't think it's close. I think when you look at the roster, outside of quarterback position, granted, is a huge thing. You know, I think that, you know, the Saints have the better roster. I think they have the more depth, and they have an experienced group that's played together and that continue to stick together.
What was that, Bart?
You heard me. I told you I got an associate's degree. You know better than that.
But here's what I would say, Molly. I think the Saints are right there with the Buccaneers. I don't know that they're going to overtake the Buccaneers right this minute. They win in the regular season. They did the things in the draft that will make them competitive against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They addressed issues. They addressed the left tackle in getting Pennington from Northern Iowa. They addressed the home run threat in Chris Olave from Ohio State. They went out and got Taylor, the cornerback from Tennessee. So when you look at this football team, Michael Thomas seems to be on track to coming back. Jameis Winston seemed to be on track to coming back. The interesting thing for me in all of this is Sean Payton is no longer there as the head coach. Dennis Allen now steps in as a head coach who will probably be calling the defensive play still as the head coach. Pete Carmichael is the offensive play caller. Same kind of mind as Sean Payton. Been with Sean Payton throughout his tenure in New Orleans. Took over the play calling duties at the time when Sean Payton was suspended some time ago. So there's some familiarity there. The one thing that I would say about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is they have depth. They haven't lost anybody that's significant to them. Everybody's come back. You got Leonard Fournette, Tom Brady. Now you look at the tight end position, and I'm most likely betting that Gronkowski winds up coming in the summertime. You look at Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, an ACL injury now is like breaking a finger. You look at that secondary is intact. They'll get those guys back healthy. The defensive coordinator in Todd Bowles is still there. Byron Leftwich is still there. I'm a homer. I'm a nepotism guy. I believe in my nephew and the New Orleans Saints. I just need to see it all put together because of injuries to that team last year.
Wait, I was so confused. So you're a homer because your nephew, not Tampa? Okay. I just want to be clear because you're confusing me because I thought you won a Super Bowl. I thought you
blood
won a Super Bowl
always
with Tampa.
Thicker. Blood is always thicker than water. You must understand that. Always. No matter where he goes, what he does, I'm all can't guard Mike.
Okay, no, I get you on that, and he's a special talent. But I feel like this is sort of the same conversation we're having with Philly, guys, is I get it. The Saints are so much better. Philly's so much better. It's the quarterback I'm concerned about. So then you're saying Tampa, less talent, but then they have the quarterback. So you're trusting
I don't believe that Tampa Bay is less talented than the New Orleans Saints. That's Bart with that ridiculous take.
Okay.
I mean.
But I'm talking about Jameis Winston specifically. You're trust, because I thought you said neck and neck.
Well, he went 5-2 as a starter. He went 5-2 as a starter. He's not Tom Brady, but I think that they understand who he is and what he can do to the team. When you add pieces around him and keep him from turning the football over, you certainly have a chance to win. Getting those players back, when you got Alvin Kamara, Michael Thomas, a young Chris Olave that can lift the coverage, that's having something on the offensive side of the ball. Plus, he's being taught now to protect the football. No risk it, biscuit, all that. That's out of his blood now.
The thing is, the same issues that you potentially will have with the Saints in the new regime, you know, it's still people that's being elevated and promoted. You know, I have about Tampa, right? The fact that Todd Bowles is trying to be the, you know, supervisor over everything, but he's still calling the defensive plays. And what I wonder about, you know, you got a guy like Byron Leftwich that wants to prove that, hey, he is a head coach candidate and it was about him. Does he go to, like, Ultra Genius and overcomplicate things because he wants to improve and fluff the stats to try and get a head coaching job? So you got guys that, you know, you got to get that symmetry. You know, who knows what's going on? You talk about they haven't lost anybody. They lose in Dominican Sue, which is huge. Now, he can still come back. You lose Pierre Paul, which was the lifeblood of that defensive line, always coming up with the knack for the big plays. He was the leader of that defensive line. Antonio Brown, that really doesn't matter. You bring in Russell Gage. That's a good comp for that. But we don't know. It's pressure on, right? We know it's Super Bowl or bust, and let's see if they succumb to the pressure. This is a team that's playing with house money when you think about the Saints, right? They're supposed to be in salary cap hell. We thought we were pushing them off, saying, hey, they're going to have to rebuild. All they did was reload, get guys to restructure their contracts, be, you know, sacrifice and replace Armstead. If they're a team that's 4-1, as long as they take care of business and is mature enough to win the games that they're supposed to win, if they win the head-to-head, it shouldn't be a contest. They should win the division and it shouldn't even be close.
Okay. The only person that just liked that tweet is Marcus Spears. So the Saints winning the division. Okay. We'll
keep
take
it real
it.
Goes wrong.
Okay. Against Tom Brady. Here we go. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Brightside breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh, hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. There's no team in the NFL perhaps more synonymous with screwing up the NFL draft than the New York Jets. Ken O'Brien over Dan Marino, Kyle Brady over Warren Sapp. The mistakes are infamous, but it looks like this year's Jets may just be different. Drafting Sauce Gardner, Garrett Wilson, Jermaine Johnson, all in the first round, certainly impressed our Mel Kiper Jr. Mel gave the Jets an A for their draft. You like that? As they took the top-ranked cornerback and wide receiver off his board. Looking at another AFC's team, Mel gave the Patriots a C-plus for their draft. I said this earlier. The Patriots and the Cowboys with Mel's worst grade. So, Bart, do you think the Jets, I can't believe I'm asking this, feel sacrilegious? To Bill Belichick, but I'm going to do it anyway. Do you think the Jets are moving ahead of the New
England Patriots? We're looking at your phone, Keisha. Look at me, because I want you to understand this and feel this when I say that.
In the division.
To answer your question, Molly.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Listen, at what point are we going to realize that it was more about 12 than it was about Bill Belichick?
Whoa. Okay. Okay. That's a hot take right there.
He got a C, right? Tell me what draft that Bill Belichick has ever hit, or he's always getting a C, but 12 was always able to cover it up. Like, so what's his great moves this offseason? He traded his best corner and let him walk out the door. right? Because he feels he's the almighty. We witnessed a team that got old, slow, and exposed in the playoffs.
Are you
no
really
Kyle
saying
Van
that Bill
Noy,
Belichick?
No Jamie Collins. No Dante Hightower. It's one of those things. It's like, listen, Keyshawn, understand this. The Jets can have good things. It's okay to be happy. It's okay to be optimistic. Because at some point, the Big Bad Wolf ain't the Big Bad Wolf no more. So, yeah, they're the Big Bad Wolf. They look the same. But when they open their mouth, they got no teeth. They all bark. They no bite. And we thought that mac and cheese was the second coming of Tom Brady. Please, right? And you talk about what they don't have. So they now they don't have any of those core pieces anymore. What was his big move? Cole Strange? I had to listen. I was covering the draft. I had to look through my pamphlet to even figure out who the hell he was. He could have got him in the third round. And we've been saying that listen, the entire division has passed the Patriots, right? What has he done since Tom Brady has left that was substantial? He had a decent year. But now if you I implore you, Keyshawn, to tell me where the lie is when you go through this roster and tell me that the Jets roster isn't twice as good and possibly even at the quarterback position, we'll be able to evaluate that more. Offensive line,
okay.
Defensive line, cornerback, linebacker, safety. Tell me where the Patriots
okay, let him
advantage.
Talk, because that was a lot of Bill Belichick slander. Keyshawn, would you like to respond?
Molly, you do understand that Bart hates the New England Patriots, and he played with Rex Ryan in the New York Jets. So that let's just
listen.
Let's
I just
start
saw
there.
His I saw his podcast. What is it called? Organized Chaos.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what's happening on this show right now.
So when you look at Bill Belichick, his drafts have historically never really been A's. He's always got two, maybe three of those guys right. When you start looking at the way he builds teams, he builds them the way he wants to, not the way the draft gurus and experts think he should build a team. You can't argue with a man that has gone to championships, won division titles, won Super Bowls. You can't argue with that. He found Tom Brady, Bart. The argument that he hadn't done anything since Tom, he found Tom Brady. So to sit there and say, well, if it wasn't for Tom, he wouldn't have won. And that come on, man. You're bigger than that, though, Bart.
He's
smarter than that.
If he was so smart, he would have took him a lot earlier. If you knew you were getting the best of all time, you don't take him in the sixth round. That was a blind squirrel finding a nut.
But look, in the end, he built a team last year off the scraps. They went to the playoffs with a rookie quarterback. I don't think he's the second
Miles,
coming
it's
of Tom
scrap
Brady.
Spending but more it's money also, in free agency but, than you've ever spent in 10 years combined. Is that buying it, building a team off the scrap? Is that panic mode saying
but,
I got to
But that was the
overspend.
First time he ever did it. But I don't understand. I get some of the draft, and he's never gone for the big names, but I don't understand why you're questioning his roster building. That's really where
he's in New York.
Hold up, Tom.
That's really where
whoa, whoa,
I'm
whoa,
lost.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Where am I? Because look at the first rounders that he's picked that he never gave a second contract.
Mr. Scott, can I please finish? I allowed you to have the floor, sir.
I'm sorry, Keith.
You just can't help yourself.
I don't get to come to the show too often. I'm excited. I apologize.
Yeah, just let me finish. So when you look at the way he's building his team and his roster, you look at last year, that was the same recipe from 20 years ago when they had young Tom Brady. Play a solid defense, run the hell out of the football, and don't allow the quarterback to screw it up. Now we're in year two of the Mac Jones experiment. To continue to build that defense, continue to develop him as a quarterback, and do those things. You wouldn't take Robert Saleh over Bill Belichick as a head coach.
Not at all.
You know damn well you wouldn't. So don't sit up there and act like all of a sudden Bill Belichick forgot how to coach football, Bart. That is not the case. Don't act like he doesn't know how to scheme you to victory. Don't act like that. Then when you talk about his draft picks, you say, well, what about this Cole Strong? They could have got him in the third round. Just because somebody else had the grade on him as a third rounder doesn't mean that the New England Patriots didn't like him for what they want to do. There's a guy, a gentleman he took out of Arizona State named Jack Jones. You know who that is? It's a cornerback, right? Nobody, they like, what was it? This dude might have been the most talented corner in the entire draft. But he's got some off-the-field issues and concerns. But Bill is willing to work with that because of his talent. And if anybody can get a cornerback right, it's Bill Belichick. If you're a cornerback and you want to play in the National Football League on your first contract, then go get paid, you go to the New England Patriots.
How
because
did
they continue to show that.
How did that N'Keal Harry? How did that N'Keal Harry pick work out? How did he get it? First of all, who the hell is the offensive coordinator?
Said defensive back. He doesn't have anything to do with N'Keal Harry's heart. That's on N'Keal Harry. That's on him.
He's got to play big.
He's got to play big. Okay? That's why when they realized he wasn't playing big, what did they do? They went out there and addressed the issue by bringing in receivers, putting guys in front of him.
What an upgrade.
What? This dude,
I give him credit for the Devontae Parker pick. But in all seriousness, Bill has been notorious for letting great players walk out the door because he thinks it's more about him and his ability to coach. He let Shaq Mason go. He would have to get Cole Strange if he didn't let Shaq Mason walk out for a fifth-round
draft. What great players has he allowed to walk out the door, though, boy?
Shaq Mason.
Who?
Shaq Mason is a top-tier Pro Bowl-caliber left guard.
Hey, Zach Wilson had the second worst QBR last season. I'm just curious, do you feel good about Zach?
I feel great with Zach, with Breece Hall, one of the best running backs in the draft, if not the best back coming out a long time.
We don't even know.
I feel great about Mekhi Becton. Look at me.
Why are you raising your voice? Why are you saying it with that tone? It's like you're so defensive. It's like you're trying to prove something. Molly, I feel great about it. Instead of listing the whole roster, I asked you about Zach Wilson with the second worst QBR, which is probably the most comprehensive stat for a quarterback. I know you're former players, and you don't love stats.
So how was Jared Goff when he was with 500 Fisher, and then the next year Sean McVay came in, he took him to a Super Bowl, correct? Because they built the roster up, they got a plan around him, they went out and got him two great tight ends, Azuma, Thomason, they went out, Mekhi Becton will be returning. They went out and got the best receiver in the draft. They went out and got the best running back in the draft. They had injuries. They're in a rebuilding process, right? And I heard the same story when I came into this division. Bill. Yeah, then we had Bill's number the first couple of years. We handled our business. So at some point, when Mike Tyson was fighting Lennox Lewis and Emmanuel Stewart told him, what are you doing? You got a dead man in front of you. This ain't the Mike Tyson that you're used to seeing. This is a different guy. Go take him out. So I'm telling the Jets to take this man out because it may look like the Patriots. Oh, it may sound like the Patriots, but this ain't the same Patriots. Ever since terrific
Bart,
time,
Bart,
God bless his heart, has Bart, left this
Bart,
division. Wow.
Bart, as I always tell you, you don't play football anymore, man. Let it go.
Yeah.
You're no longer a
football.
Let the passion go.
I appreciate
this is the NFL.
Like
this is not high school football where you got a rival. This is the NFL.
Whoa, Keyshawn. Whoa. So you mean to tell me you didn't have any rivals?
No.
Okay.
Wow.
No.
Bart, do you like to read?
Audiobooks.
Okay.
I'm kind of slow on reading.
There's a book called The Four Agreements. I want you to read it. And one of the four agreements is don't take anything personal.
Can you voice over it for me, Molly? Because I'm kind of slow reading.
Don't take it personal, Bart, man.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
All right, gentlemen, I hear we have a Stephen A. tweet here. He's watching the show from home. Here's what he had to say. Ha! It's amazing to see Coach Bickerstaff on First Take. Love it. Thanks, Coach. Sorry I'm not here today. As for JJ, you do know what you're sitting in, right? Sit up, speak with conviction, and leave the smoothness to me. Oh, that's nice. He approves of my outfit because Keyshawn was killing my dress.
I sat in this chair. This is getting very comfortable for me.
Yeah.
This specific chair, I think
you feel good?
The angles in this room for me are much better on this side of the desk.
And I felt the flow was great today.
Really?
I felt the flow was great.
I thought he's your boy. I thought you guys have worked together for like 30 years or something wild.
That's my guy. He knows that.
Do you think it emboldens you to really bring your A game?
Oh, Molly, I try to bring my A game every day, no matter what. I try to bring my A game every day. Doesn't always happen.
Keyshawn's here too, guys. All right. I love it. I hope Stephen A's relaxing because it's been a long week and they got a lot of playoffs going on this weekend. So close and yet so far. Speaking of the playoffs, the Grizzlies had a shot to win at the buzzer, but Ja could not get the layup to go with the Warriors. Took game one, 117-116. This coming despite the controversial ejection of Draymond Green. The Grizzlies led by as much as 13 points early in the game, but that was not enough as the Dubs clawed their way back to win in Memphis. Game two is tonight. Keyshawn, do you believe the Warriors are going to sweep the Grizz?
I do. And that's because of experience. And both of these guys know this. When you have experience like the Warriors have to no experience like the Grizzlies, that game the other night that they lost on Sunday, 117-116, and the way it ended, the inexperience kicked in. I remember the defender, but whoever fell for that pump fake on Clay at the three, that's simply, I know, and I don't even play professional basketball. You don't jump. You stay on your feet. Clay gave you a simple head fake. You went up in the air. He slid to the left, knocked down the three. That's inexperience. And when I talk about that, I look at it and I say, okay, Ja had an opportunity at the end of the game. The experience of Clay Thompson made him push him all, he pushed him all the way to the left. So now it made it more of a difficult layup. And then you look at Steph Curry. Steph Curry did what he needed to do at the end of that game. He slid his feet. He created a turnover by blocking that ball. He didn't stop and freeze. He got right underneath the basket, made a perfect steal. They went back down in transition, scored the point. So when you think about that, all that to me and some of the late game decisions by the coaches and the players account for inexperience to me. So if they lose this game tonight and they go back to the Chase Center in San Francisco, they might as well bring out the broom. And you tell me this, Legs, and you tell me this, JJ. When you are a young team and you lose the way you lost in that fashion, in that game where you felt like you had a chance to win it, how does that carry over into the next game? I believe it does.
Well, Memphis has proven to be a particularly resilient team. They're a tough team. They have a lot of good things going for them. And you could say for some young teams, the moment is too big. I don't think the moment has been too big for them. I think they'll get a game in this series. I do expect the Warriors to win. To me, it comes down to exactly what you said, and that's experience. I don't know if we can roll the tape again of that Klay Thompson shot, but this is a great example of experience. That last play was a play that I used to run. Doc River used to run it for me at the end of a game. It's a simple curl, screen the screener. Klay Thompson came off. If you look at where Jaren Jackson was to start that play, sorry, I'm looking for Klay Thompson's three-pointer here.
You're looking for the shot, right?
Yes.
The three-point shot.
If you look at where Jaren Jackson was, Jaren Jackson is in the paint. He's in the paint. Your end game against the Warriors. Teams have only switched the Warriors off the ball for the last 8 years. Why are you in the paint? And I don't know if Coach Jenkins told him to be there or if that was just his decision that Jaren Jackson Jr. made. That allowed Andrew Wiggins to have a free screen on Klay Thompson. And he got a piece of Desmond Bane. All of a sudden now Desmond Bane is trailing. And look, I get that he went for the shot fake, but there's really nothing else you can do. You're taught to close with urgency to Steph Curry, to Jordan Poole, to Klay Thompson. Any great shooter like that, you're trying to run them off the line. It started before that. You got to be touching, body position, got to be higher, point of the screen so that you can switch that and Klay's not coming off free. I'm going to go back to game five of the Timberwolves and Memphis series. They're up three with 8 seconds to go. You foul there. They give a little DHO to McLaughlin and set an easy flare screen. I ran that play in high school and would get corner threes. Anthony Edwards has a free shot from the corner. No communication on the switch. No communication on the flare screen. No foul under 8 seconds, up three. This is experience. You have to learn how to win in those moments at the end of close games in the playoffs. I think the Grizzlies will bounce back. They'll get a game. They may get two games. But to me, the Warriors just have too much experience at the end of games for the Grizzlies.
Yeah, I think, look, Key, you make a lot of great points, JJ, as well. It's hard to make the leap from a team this young coming together, a guy becoming a star in Ja Morant before our eyes, to make the leap from a team that's on the outside looking into the postseason to take on, right, a team full of winners that's got championship pedigree that still has guys in their prime playing at this level, and to get past them and think now you're in the conference finals against the Phoenix Suns, right? You have to learn through these things. And this is a very, very difficult situation Memphis is going to find themselves in. If you didn't win that game, that's what I kept telling myself after, how are you going to win this series? Draymond Green's ejected in the first half. He's a brains of the operation on offense. He's one of the best defensive players in the league. Klay Thompson wasn't very good the whole night offensively. Obviously hit a big shot late. Wasn't very good for the most part. And your star actually has 34. So he plays well. You still lose. That's a problem. Now, so I say, are they going to get swept? JJ and I were talking right before the segment. What do you think? We both think they can get a game. I'm going to give them the benefit of doubt they can get a game.
But see, my whole thing, Legs, is they drop this one tonight.
Yeah.
They ain't getting no game out west. Then I get one.
This is the one they would have to get. And I look at them and I say, where can they get a lot better?
Yeah.
Think about this. Desmond Bain was really a non-factor. Dylan Brooks, non-factor offensively. This is their second and third leading scorers. Those guys never even made an imprint in the game whatsoever. Dylan Brooks had a horrible shooting night. Desmond Bain just never really got looks. So I think they're going to be a lot better. The energy they're building is going to be sensational. And I think those guys will play better. I think Memphis can get a game. But for me, I look at the Warriors now with what Jordan Poole has become. It's too much. We know what it is.
You're from California. You know what it is. These guys are going to be hanging out in Napa, having a good time, all the nice hotels up there. They're going to be chilling up in the Bay Area in June. You already know what this is.
Look, Legs and JJ, they took Poole and swapped him with Curry. When Curry first came back, he was coming off the bench and doing what Poole is doing right now, coming off the bench. How you going to beat that? You swapping guys in position, making them the bench guy, bringing them in, putting them in the starting rotation, they still giving you 30. I mean, like, there's no defense for that.
All right, last word here from JJ.
Well, I've used this stat a bunch, but there was a stretch of years where if you looked at who had the most open threes, the most wide open threes in the NBA, number one was Steph Curry, number two was Klay Thompson. When you have multiple shooters on the floor, you have to make very difficult choices. There was a great example of this when the Warriors were making their comeback. Steph Curry got a kick-ahead pass in the corner. Jordan Poole got a kick-ahead pass. He passed it to Steph Curry in the corner. He had to make a tough choice, and he ultimately went back to Poole. Steph Curry got the three. He fouled him on the three. Again, they've now added a third shooter to Klay and Steph. It makes them extremely tough to guard, and you're going to have to make very hard decisions at all times defensively.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
The Met Gala was last night. All the stars were out, from Venus Williams to D. Wade, Odell Beckham Jr., and, of course, the fashion fixture in Russell Westbrook. Keyshawn, I'll start with you. The theme for the Met Gala, there's always a theme. It was gilded glamour. What do you think of Russ's outfit there?
I mean, it was a theme. I couldn't pull it off. It wouldn't be something that I would do. But I mean, it's like a costume deal, so I guess it's okay. I mean, I'm assuming it's okay. Let's just put it this way. He looked like he worked outside of a nice hotel in Rome.
Okay. Yeah, it was like an anthology of American fashion, was another way they described it. JJ, where are you on this?
I loved it. Here's my thing.
Okay.
The Met Gala is the one time that you have an opportunity to not just show up to a black tie event in a tux. And to me, up top, you've got perfect sort of Gilded Age theme. And then below the waist, a little bit fashion avant-garde, if you will, a little modern twist on the Gilded Age. I had a friend.
Okay, JJ, your range.
I had a friend here. I had a friend who went to, he works in television, and he went to the Met last night, and I was at dinner with him Saturday night. And I asked him what he was wearing. He said he's wearing a Dolce & Gabbana tux, which is, again, that's awesome. Good for you. But it's like, does it work at the Met?
You know what
Here's
I'm going to say?
Here's what works at the Met.
Yeah.
See, shirtless, six-pack abs. Yeah,
no,
I follow D-Wade on Instagram, and I'm like, man, for a retired guy, this guy works out a lot. But now it all makes sense.
But, Keyshawn, it's almost like Halloween. You know, there's the people that just kind of want to look hot, and they wear whatever. And then there's the people that really commit to the costume.
I understand.
Theme.
I get
and
it.
I do want to give him props for that as well, too, right? Because he could have just done something space and basic.
Him and D-Wade pulled it off. It's just something that I wouldn't do. I'm more, like JJ said, I'm the boring dude. You know, I'm going to wear a Tom Ford tux or, you know, I'm just normal dude. I'm not, you know, I'm boring. That's all.
All right. Okay, we'll leave it there. Game two tonight, guys, Bucks, Celtics. Who you got in this one, JJ? Just game two.
I've got the Celtics. I've got the Celtics winning game two. They're going to even the series. They're at home. I've talked all you know, in first segment about the adjustments I expect them to make, but I think they're going to win game two.
Kate?
Yeah, I'm going to go against JJ, and I'm going to take the Bucks. I think Giannis plays better than he did in game one, and Holiday Drew continues to have the type of playoff games that he's been having.
All right. Grizz Warriors?
Man, I think it's Warriors. I think the Warriors will go up 2-0. And I still think, even though I'm going to say that, and I know I said earlier, I don't think the Grizz are going to get swept. There is something about the bounce back game from such a devastating loss in the fashion that they lost in game one.
Would you do the skirt for the Met Gala?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm willing
to try. As long as he shaves his
Did you see
leg,
my State Farm commercial?
As long as he shaves
Did you
his
see
hair?
My
no,
State Farm
commercial?
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.